your name. We lift you up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, fear not. We have our normal broadcasting has been interrupted. And I'm not going to keep you a long time this morning. But do have a thing or two I want to talk to you about. So, Acts chapter 20, and beginning in verse 7. Paul's moving through Macedonia and Greece. And a lot of the young men that he has raised up through three missionary journeys, a journey of 10,000 miles, they're following him now. And they're showing up and they are fellow laborers with him. Verse 7, and on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, and when they were gathered, where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with his sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him. This is the word of God, came down and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even unto the break of day. They just had church all night. You sing about when I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, and that you would shout all night. They had church all night. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you. We lift you up. Thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Verse 4, there's a list of these men and young men that have been influenced by Paul on his missionary journeys. They're from all sorts of different origins. Some of them are given here, and you can find or ferret out the others in his salutations, in the books that he wrote as letters to churches, the epistles. And they are following the word of God. And it's such a contrast here. You have a crowd of people who are open and ready and willing, and others who are following the word of God with great interest. And you have this juxtaposed with the story of a young man who slumps down in the window, sleeping in the house of God. And our policy here is, if you sleep here, we don't bother you. Because if you sleep here, you really need to sleep. And if you can sleep with all this going on, we're not going to bother you at all. And I understand how that is. And I understand how hard you work and how long the days are and how when you get still, how it happens sometimes. And I'm not picking on you if you doze off from time to time. But what I am doing in this passage, there is a juxtaposition of people that are eager and alive for the word of God. And a young man who falls asleep, and ultimately his lack of interest or attentiveness to the word of God is death for him. And he literally dies because of his inattention to the word of God. And I think that is the primary thing that we want to focus on this morning. The fact that the word of God is coming to pass all through the world today. But there's a tremendous amount of lethargy, and as hungry as you are and as energetic as you are and as excited as you are, not everybody's so excited about the word of God. But I want you to understand the difference between your hunger and your interest and that of those who are asleep at the end time. The difference is going to be the difference of life and death. I'm glad for the word of God today. I am so glad somebody had the light on and somebody was still preaching the truth and somebody was willing to open up the Word of God to me. Well, praise God. Can you say amen to that? Now, sleep is good throughout the Scripture. God promises that if you love Him and you are His beloved, that He'll give you sweet sleep. And it's God's methodology, and sleep regenerates you and rejuvenates you, and chemically you really need your sleep. So this is not in any way negative about that. Some of you need 10 hours a day and some of you get by on 5, and everybody is a little bit different, but sleep is good. But there is a biblical discussion about sleep that has to do with spiritual attitudes and spiritual things. Proverbs chapter 6 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and your want shall come upon you as an armed man. And so you don't want to be sleeping when you ought to be working. Samson got in trouble when he lay his head in Delilah's lap and went to sleep. And he lost his anointing in the kingdom of God. And at Gethsemane, Jesus is praying for the whole human race, and his disciples have fallen asleep. And he said, can't you watch with me 1 hour? And so you understand the drift. There is a negative connotation to certain types at certain times. Certain types of sleep at certain times. In the parable of the wheat and tares, it was while men slept that the enemy came and sowed seeds that were tares in their garden and in their fields. And so there's a negative. There are some things about sleep that you don't want to experience, especially spiritually in these end times. David prayed a prayer to God and said, God, lighten my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. And what he's really talking about there is somebody that's on guard or has the watch in a military setting. And if you're out on the perimeter, you don't fall asleep. In a time of war, that's a capital crime. You could be executed for falling asleep because you put everybody at jeopardy. But God, David prays a prayer and says, God, don't let me sleep the sleep of death. Now, I just got something to tell you here. We are at the end time. We are in the end of an age. We are near the time of the rapture. We are close to the trump of God, the shout of God, the return of God to this earth. We are living in the land of Zechariah 12 and 14 that gives you a panoramic view of the battle of Armageddon and the returning of the Lord. That's where we are living. And there have been times perhaps that maybe you could doze off or be a little bit sleepy or be a little drowsy, but I want you to know this is one of the most dangerous spiritual hours anybody has ever lived in, and you don't want to be dozing off at the wheel today. You want to be alive and alert and ready. Somebody say praise the Lord. I was tremendously gratified Friday evening. I've missed a couple of weeks, and I had a Bible study scheduled 3 weeks ago and again last Friday night for a college career age group. I had 20 college career age kids in my office. That's a little office, and we were packed out in there Friday night, and I'm just teaching them the stock Bible study. But I felt an anointing there and the presence of God there, and I was so encouraged. Those kids could be anywhere. They could be doing anything they want to do. They're of the age of majority. They could be running the roads, spending their life doing anything they please, but they were at the house of God on a Friday night, and they were opening up their Bibles, and they were eager to receive the Word of God. And I'll just tell you, I'm excited about that tonight, because that excitement, that energy, that hunger is going to be the difference between life and death. You can't go to sleep today regarding the Word of God. If you haven't had or you're not having a home Bible study, you need to have one in your home this week. You need to line up with Brother Cliff. Brother Cliff, stand up and wave your hand, or maybe walk up and down the aisles or something. This is a hard target to miss. But you need to line up a Bible study with Brother Cliff. You need to have a Bible study in your home or at your business or at your school or wherever you are, because hunger and alertness in the Word of God is going to be the difference between life and death today. This thing is happening and it's coming down. As we opened up the Word of God on Friday evening, I was at the basic introduction to the Word of God lesson in the Bible study, and we went to the subject of Israel. And Israel, do you know that Israel's back in the land? Do you understand that that's a sign of the end time? Do you know that no nation in the whole history of the earth has ever done what they've done? And they've done it twice. They've been scattered all over the world and they've been gathered back in our day. This has happened to them twice historically. No other nation. This is unparalleled in all of the earth's history. And this is a sign of his coming. This is a sign of the end time. But the world is walking past that. Matter of fact, there is an increasing, burgeoning anti-Semitism moving throughout the earth today. It's not just the hostile Arab nations, friend, but it's coming back in Europe. It's coming back in the United States. What is that all about? Well, God promised them in the words of Moses that they were going to be scattered all over the world and hated all over the world. And so this prophecy goes all the way back to Moses, and it's been fulfilled throughout the history, and they are back in the land today. But hell can't stop them, and the world can't stop them, and Nazi Germany couldn't stop them. Little ragtag bunch came crawling up out of everywhere and went back to the promised land, and they whipped the Arab nations three times now, 48 and 67 and 73. They defeated all the Arab nations three times against all probability, against all odds. How is that? Because the Word of God said so. Because the Word of God said so. And this is a day where you want to be aware. You want to be cognizant of that. Do you know what Turkey did this week? And you might think, well, what does Turkey have to do with what we're doing here? And well, this week Turkey kicked out the Israeli ambassador. In Ezekiel chapter 38, you have a multinational conglomerate that comes against Israel in the last days. They are Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, Ethiopia. And for years, since World War II, Turkey has been an ally of the United States. We've had a major air base there. We've launched a lot of our Middle Eastern activity in the Gulf Wars out of Turkey, or we've used their airspace, and they've been friendly to us. But now they have a jihadist government in place, and now they are turning anti-Western, vehemently anti-Israeli. And recently a Turkish flotilla tried to break that blockade, that Israeli blockade at Gaza, and the Israelis boarded those ships and shut them down and jailed a bunch of people, and there was some violence involved, and Turkey is very upset about that, and now they've sent the Israeli ambassador out of their country. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? I'm telling you, that's the Word of God being fulfilled in your day. Turkey is turning. She's about to step into an alliance with Iran and Russia. She's going to be positioned to come down into the Middle East. And you might say, well, what does that mean to it? That just means this is the day. This is the time. We are the people. You need to wake. If you're sitting in the window, Eutychus, and you're nodding off and you're not paying attention to the Word of God or the day you're living in, you need to shake yourself, and you need to wake up, and you need to open that book, and you need to let it speak to you, and you need to put aside all the distractions. There are so many distractions in this Western culture. Life was simpler in the old days, but not now. There's people that text in their sleep. I heard a psychologist talking about it this week. I don't know what they call it. I don't even know if they have a name for it yet. Sleep texting. I don't know. But it's just stimulus on every hand and something to do. And all the time saving gadgets didn't save. It condensed time. So now you have more things to do. You're more pressured than you were when they were doing things slowly and one at a time and all of that. And it's that kind of day. But it's a day where people are so entranced in all of that, they can't hear the drumbeat of the Word of God being brought to fulfillment in the world all around them. All you have to do is stop. It's like God has written it in the sunrise and in the sunset, but they can't see it because they're not attentive to the Word of God. And I just came, and I didn't know we were going to have this kind of interruption here today, and I thought I'd probably go further with this today, but I just wanted to yell at you for a minute and say, wake up! Open the book! Read the Word of God. Let God talk to your heart. My God, if you don't wake up and shake yourself and get invested and involved in the Word of God, it's the difference between life and death for an individual, for a family, for a corporate church body. We've all got to be totally invested in this Word of God. I'm so excited about all the Bible studies and all the Bible study teachers here. I'm excited about our kids involved in Sunday school and in Bible quizzing. I'm just excited that we are a fundamentalist, conservative, Bible believer. You know what we believe? We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that God said what He meant and that He meant what He said. I believe everything that's in it. I don't have to qualify it. I don't have to back away from passages in that book. I believe everything that it says. Somebody that believes that, give him a little shout this morning. Give him a little praise this morning. My God, I believe it's the rock we stand on. It's our hope. It's our strong tower. It's going to be the difference between living and dying in this end time. I'm just telling you, the Word of God is our hope. The Word of God is our answer. It's our wisdom for a day that has lost its ever-loving mind. Now, I could go to Isaiah chapter 52 and we could spend a little while on God screaming at Israel, awake, shake yourself, put on your strength, put on your beautiful garments, rise up out of the dust. We could spend a little while on that, but we're not, because we are out of time. Let's stand together. Now, if we were really apostolic, we'd just go all night, let Eutychus drop out the window and die, and pick him up and go right on to daybreak. Those folks were having church. That's exactly right. But we're not going to do that this morning. But what I would like you to do, I'd like for you to get with your family. If you don't have family, adopt somebody. And I'd like for you to come on down around the altar right now, if you would. And as you come, you arrive here, first one, step up on the steps. Make room for folks coming behind you. But if you're in authority there, or if you are the patriarch or the matriarch of that clan, I want you to tell them how it's going to be. We're going to build our home. We're going to build our lives on the Word of God. We're going to stand. Every voice out there is trying to push you away from the Word of God, trying to compromise the calling of God, trying to water down the life that God has called you to live. But I want you to tell somebody in your family circle right now, we're not hearing the voices of the day, we're hearing the voice of God. We're not serving the culture we're a part of. We're going to serve the Lord God by His Word. Praise God. The Egyptians don't know how to serve God. This Word of God is our template. Praise God. All right, I want you to lay hands on one another and pray for one another. An anointing, a blessing, the strength of God. Would you do that right now? Hallelujah. We're going to stand on His Word. We're going to love His Word.
I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, or what it has in store, I know that I will.
Make that commitment. Don't be afraid.
Tomorrow brings, oh, what it has.
voice with them. I'm going to praise. I make a commitment here. I'll be found praising God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be found serving God. I will praise. The Lord. Praise God. Ah, hallelujah. God bless you. So good to be. We've got a sister talking in tongues right here in the middle of this altar area right now. So good to be in the house with you. I want you to share your victory and share your love and strength with somebody before you leave the Lord's house today. So good to see you. If you're a trustee, I need to see you just for a moment in the conference room for just a few moments. Brother Jerry, Brother Butch, Brother Travis, Brother Mike. In case you have not heard, we do not have service tonight. Happy Labor Day. Have a wonderful time with your family.
Thank you.